Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, high noon in the central part of the United States. Not going to call it Central America because, well, we already have one of those. And we have a president trying to build a wall so that people can't come in from Central America. My name is Clint Davis. I'm driving this bus. You're listening live to a little show called Here's the Problem. This is on blogtalkradio.com. If you want to go to blogtalkradio.com, search for Filling the Void Radio Network or Filling the Void Podcast Network, and you can find it. Just type it in your search bar and bring it on up. It's also, we're all over Facebook, all right? So if you're friends with me, if you're friends with some of the people who are on the network, you've probably seen a link to the show. Also, I want to make note of something I made a little note of earlier. I did a live feed on Facebook just to get a little bit of feedback, some questions, some comments, some things from people I know. This show is going to be archived on iTunes, on Stitcher, and on Google Play. All right? So all you've got to do is get on each of those, type in Filling the Void Radio Network, look for Here's the Problem. And that is where you will find me. We also have other shows on Filling the Void Radio Network that I will talk about before we go off the air. We have several days a week, several time slots per week, and we like to fill those up with good people talking about good things. I listened to DJ Classic the other night. We listened to some music, some good stuff. I liked it a lot. I enjoyed it. And so that's a show we'll talk about later on. But right now what we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about news and we're going to talk about politics. We're going to talk about things going on around the world. Things happening in your backyard, my backyard, North Korea's backyard, Syria's backyard. You name it. If we can find a backyard, we're going to talk about what's going on in that backyard. Now, if you want to call into the show, you can. I normally don't do this, but I'm going to give you the call-in number, 657-383-0999. All right? I'll give it to you again. If you want to grab a pen, piece of paper, something to write it down with, or if you're on your WePods, which most everybody is right now, you're on your WePod, type this in. The call-in number, 657-383-0999. Okay. A lot of good stuff we're going to talk about. I've got some conservative news brought up, got some liberal news brought up. The first thing I want to talk about is I want to go back in time just a hair. Because a lot of people, it seems, when I get on Facebook, scroll down my news feed, it still seems that a lot of people are unaware of how Donald Trump became president. So let's rewind back to November. There was a lot of gossip about Trump and Putin and Russia and their best friends and whatever. And now we see President Trump is completely at odds with Russia. Russia's at odds with President Trump. And no, that's not for show and tell, okay? There's a lot of conspiracy theorists out there. You guys live off conspiracies and, oh, it's wag the dog and, oh, well, they did this on purpose. And no, they didn't. Okay, Trump and Putin did not conspire to win an election. All right, the American people voted in the election. Now, if you want to get specific about the election, we're talking about electoral votes. Electoral votes. That is how you win the presidency of the United States of America. So if you're still unclear, and if you're still crying about Hillary Clinton getting smoked in the election, let me break it down for you. For those of you who don't know, you need 270 electoral votes to become the president. There are 538 members of the Electoral College. Are you tracking? Out of those 538 members of the Electoral College, you need 270 electoral votes to win to be president if you're running. Now, we obviously saw I can't even say it was a great race with Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton spent so much money campaigning against Donald Trump that she wound up campaigning against herself. You know, we saw the thing with the WikiLeaks and all the things that came out about the DNC and the corruption and the racism and the just the dirty politics going on, you know, and rigging the primaries. I mean, how do you rig a primary and then talk about fair elections? You can't do that. It's just another piece of hypocrisy in the Hillary Clinton pie of love. Okay, so, you know, out of those 270 Electoral College votes, Donald Trump scored 304 of those. Hillary Clinton came nowhere close. If you don't know the numbers, it's Donald Trump, 304, Hillary Clinton, 227. 227, that's nowhere near 270. Okay, so that's why Hillary is not the president. Yes, we do see all these people talking about the popular vote. Guys, the popular vote means absolutely nothing, okay? If you want to win the popular vote and you want to win the Electoral College, don't put overpopulated cities as your targets on your campaign trail. You need to span out across the country. That's how you can win electoral votes. You have to win in more states than not. You can't just win the popular vote. Well, Hillary Clinton had 2.9 million more popular votes. Yes, she did. That's fine and dandy, but we're not handing out spirit ribbons and consolation prizes. Okay? 2.something million popular votes, that doesn't mean anything. Hillary Clinton did not win the electoral votes that she needed to become the president. So for everybody crying and complaining about popular votes, suck it up. That's basically all you can do. You know, Hillary got 48.2% of the popular vote. Donald Trump got 46.1% of the popular vote. But think about it like this. Think about it like this. Let's say we're going to bring in the same amount of people to this country that we already have in the country. Now, we've got approximately 300 million people in the United States, probably a little bit more. All right. I don't have the exact number in front of me. It's something I'd have to look up, but chances are you don't know it either. Now, if you take these 300 million people, we're all spread out all across the country, right? Now, you take 300 million more people and bring them in. Let's say you don't spread them out across the country. Let's say you put them in, let's go with five cities. Let's say, number one, you put them in, let's say Miami, Florida, New York City. Let's say you put them in Chicago. Let's say you put them in Los Angeles. Let's say you put them in Denver, Colorado. Hypothetical, okay? We're going strictly hypothetical here. So you've got these five cities. Now you take 300 million people and you put them all in those five cities and they all vote Democrat. Donald Trump is still going to win the election. Hillary Clinton, yeah, she'll still win the popular vote, but you have to be spread out across the country. You can't have almost the entire country vote for one person and then say, well, these few states over here voted for the other person. She got the most votes. She should be president. No, she shouldn't. If you look at a map, look at the Electoral College map. If you're on Wikipedia, if Google is your best friend, I don't know who is, go and look up the Electoral College map for the 2016 presidential election. It's very simple. Just almost the whole thing is colored red. Does Hillary have some states? Yeah, of course she's got some states. But they don't amount to a hill of beans. If they did, she would be president. Think about it. That's the end of that story. If you're just jumping on with us, we're on blogtalkradio.com. This is called Here's the Problem. My name's Clint Davis. We are talking politics. We're talking news. We're going to talk about Trump a little bit more, maybe not so much about Hillary, unless something pops up, unless somebody has a question or a comment and they want to talk about her. You know, referring back to the live feed that we did on Facebook earlier, we had some really good questions and comments come in, so we'll touch up on some of those too. We will address the things that have come up this morning. You know, I see a headline that says U.S. officials are saying Russia actually attempted to get on the inside of Trump's campaign. Trump didn't let it happen. You know, everybody's got these claims about Trump being in cahoots with Russia. Well, he's under investigation. Guys, it doesn't matter if he's under investigation. Who, you know what being under investigation means? That means people are talking about you. It doesn't mean anything. Look at Hillary Clinton. You know how many investigations Clinton has been under, or the Clinton Foundation for the misappropriation of funds and stealing from the foundation and taking money from lobbyists and taking money from places that sponsor terrorism? She's been under investigation. But, you know, Bill corners somebody in the back of an airplane one day at an airport and threatens to kill him like they've done several other people who have either gone missing or been found dead that were related to Clinton investigations. And all of a sudden, nothing happens to Hillary for the classified emails that she dumped off of her private server that she was not supposed to use for state business. Okay, so, I mean, we can talk about that all day if we want. It does no good. Being under investigation means somebody's talking about you. That's it. That means people have your name in their mouth and all they're doing is talking about you. Now, I'm pretty sure, this is just my opinion, but I'm almost positive that if there was something going on with Trump and Russia, we would know about it, okay? And knowing about it does not mean, well, guess what I heard on CNN? Dude, CNN, I mean, for real, if you're going to listen to news, don't. CNN, I'm not telling you to go to Fox News. I don't even like Fox News. Do I post links from it? Of course I do. But that's because I know that it's reputable. I know they do their research. They don't do like CNN where they just got ruled against, where they came out with some jacked up story with made up numbers about a hospital just to bury the hospital. That's what CNN did. Fake news. Fake news. That's why they got the screws put to them for that problem right there. So I'm not going to post things about fake news. I'm not going to deal with that. It's just it's a complete gigantic waste of time. And that's going to get us nowhere. So now that everything's on the table about why Donald Trump is the president, hopefully we can move on past that. You know, it's like every day I wake up, I look on Facebook, I look on you know, different, maybe sometimes even foreign news websites, foreign to the United States, okay? And everybody's talking about these rallies. Well, we got these rallies put together. Well, that's wonderful. I'm glad you guys are assembling, but here's the problem. When you go to these rallies, you're not supposed to set cars on fire. You're not supposed to commit crimes. You're not supposed to assault the police. You're not supposed to be a problem. Okay, the Constitution gives you every right to assemble peacefully. Now, when you start doing these riots and you start acting like a fool, that's your problem and you're going to have to deal with it. But that's what the Democrats represent these days. You got a bunch of these snowflake millennial kids that need safe spaces and therapists and medication all the time. And the first thing they want to do is act like they've been victimized by something. What are you a victim of? You know, after Donald Trump got elected president, the first thing I heard out of people's mouths, friends of mine, the first thing I read on Facebook was, oh, my God, I'm so scared. What are you scared of? Oh, we're going to lose our rights. What rights are you going to lose? There is absolutely nothing that Donald Trump campaigned on that says, I'm going to take your rights away from you. Okay. Now, do you have people? There are people in different states that are trying to take away the marriage equality. I'll give you that. That's on the state. Okay. Here's the thing with that. If you're living in a state where your congressmen, your representatives, your senators are trying to take away your rights, you need to vote them out of office. It's as simple as that. And if your movement is not big enough to vote them out of office, don't be surprised when things change. Now, I'm for marriage equality. I've always said that. I think everybody who's a free American should be able to marry whoever they want, whenever they want, and I don't care about all the other stuff. Okay? So, you know, if you're in that kind of position and you know that you're scared, which I still don't know why you are, if you think you're scared and you think you're going to lose your rights, then you need to do something about it. Okay, getting on Facebook and talking about how scared you are, that's not a movement. That does absolutely nothing for anybody. All right? So I've got a caller on the line here, so I'm going to take the call. I'm going to see what's going on. 9912, you're on with me. What's up?
Hello, Mr. Clint Davis.
Oh, my gosh. Is that Granny Hulkster?
It is, darling. How are you?
Well, I'm good. So you're up there in Northwest Arkansas. What's the weather doing up there?
Misty and cool. At least the heavy rain's gone, but... So,
yeah,
but we're all doing okay.
Well, that's good. We've got some thunder down here. It's been crazy the last couple of days. One of our local businesses that is a financial supporter of our schools around here, they got their roof blown off their house. And or not their house, their business. And ironically, that was the only structural damage in the entire area. So, you know, everything else was just like limbs and trees and stuff like that. But, yeah, it was bad. It was all over 5 News. They lost the roof to the entire building, and they had some flooding going on. It was kind of crazy. Did you guys see anything like that up there?
We had a lot of rain. I mean, a lot of wind damage, you know, some flooding in the streets, you know, not a whole lot of structural damage up here in Springdale, but.
Yeah.
Oh, Anthony wanted me to give you a message.
All right,
you know, when you were talking live on Facebook and I said he was cheering for genetic perfection and you mentioned that it's not genetic perfection without Rich Rude. Well,
yeah.
Barry and Alan kind of made him an honorary Rich Rude for the night because he was cheering for him.
Oh, my God. Well, now, here's the deal with that. Nobody will ever take Rich Rude's place, but...
That's true.
If anybody's going to fill those shoes for a night, I would rather it be him.
Yeah. I mean, you know, but... They were facing Americos and Hacksaw Jim Duggan in a tag team match. And so he was cheering for, you know, genetic perfection and, you know, had the Mr. Saturday Night hair look going on, you know, and, I mean, the whole nine yards. So, but yeah, we are going to have to get together, my friend, and go to some wrestling shows because rumor has it, and I don't know how true this is, but, you know, Tim Rockwell does wrestling for a cause. Rumor has it that they are working on trying to get genetic perfection there along with Rich Rude at a Wrestling for a Cause show. So I don't know when that's going to happen, but they're working on that from what I've been hearing.
Well, now, I hate to toot my own horn here, but I have been on a campaign trail on Facebook for the last couple of weeks. Not even for the last couple of weeks, probably for quite a while now, to try to get... Rich Rude back with Genetic Perfection and get them in some local events around here. That's what I've been shooting for. Every time I can talk about it, I do. So, you know, I've been planting seeds wherever I can, and wherever Rich Rude goes, Clint Davis is going to follow.
Well, of course, I know that. I mean, that's a given fact. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind about that you will definitely be there. But
yeah, good time.
We're listening to the show, but we just wanted to say hey, and we're on our way to go pick up Anthony and take him somewhere for a little bit. But Mysterio's doing well. His little dog Mysterio's doing well, and he thought that was really cool of you to give Mysterio a shout out on your Facebook Live thing earlier, so he thought that was really awesome.
Hey, you know, it's like Gilbert Gottfried said on a joke one time, because why leave out the dog, right? I mean, you got to include
right.
the dog.
That's right. He's part of the family, so...
Well, Granny, I appreciate you calling in. I'm gonna remute you. That way you can stay on live with me. I'm gonna keep you
in
the switchboard. Okay. All right. Well, you take care. I love you guys. I miss you, and I'll see you real soon.
All right.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Granny Hulkster. She is a class act. One of my favorites. If you ever want to see a super fan at a wrestling show, you got to go meet Granny Hulkster. I mean, one of a kind. And of course, when David and Anthony are, you know, David's a smart guy. David tries to stay out of the way as much as he can. David doesn't want to catch an inadvertent cookie sheet or briefcase over the guardrail, and I don't blame him. Some of those shows get crazy, and you know, and that's okay. You know, so there's a lesson right there. Sometimes we'll get callers, we'll get a little bit off topic, but that's fine, man. I'll talk about anything, but we're going to get back to the topic about politics. We're going to talk about the news. We're going to talk about everything that's going on. And, you know, getting back to the part about being scared, losing rights, you know, don't live on scare tactics. Okay. If you're running around in fear all the time, that's not everybody else's problem. That's your problem. Okay. I mean, it doesn't take a lot to do research about who you're talking about. You can't just listen to what some liberal news source says about Donald Trump and then be like, oh my God, this is going to be terrible. What's he done that's so terrible? We're going to get into a big list of accomplishments that Donald Trump has under his belt within the first 90 days. You know, he's working on the first 100 days now. And, you know, so we'll talk about some good stuff. So I'm going to go back to the live video here, and I'm not going to watch it because obviously I have feedback coming through my headset, and I'm going to sift through all the comments about me needing to shave my beard because I'm not doing that. There's some good compliments in there. Appreciate those. I'm somebody's hero. We did talk about the unicorn frappuccino at Starbucks. Now, speaking of news, did anybody see on ABC News the Starbucks barista that went absolutely crazy about the unicorn frappuccino? Who saw this? You don't have to raise your hands because clearly I'm not going to see it. This is a podcast. It's not a live video, and we don't have two-way mirrors. So you've got this Starbucks barista. He's driving home in his Prius. And he's complaining about people who order unicorn frappuccinos, just having a complete meltdown. Let me tell you something. That is the prime example of a childish millennial snowflake. So if you ever want to know what the definition is, that's it. When I talk about snowflakes, I'm talking about these people who think they're entitled to everything. They think they're entitled to a drama-free politics. They think they're entitled to free college, free health care, not having to work for people. You know, if somebody comes up to you and says, I want a unicorn frappuccino, and you're the dude behind the counter, it's time to make a unicorn frappuccino, unless you're the one ringing him up and then somebody else has to make it. And in that case, what are you complaining about? Like, really, how hard is it for you to make a drink? I make myself several drinks. Several times a day. It's probably one of the easiest things I do besides going to the bathroom. I got that down pat. Been doing it since I was about 2. All right, so we covered that. There's another comment about that. Scrolling up. Something about a goat lover. Unsweet tea. We talked about unsweet tea. Put ice on it, make it cold. Oh, I just saw that. Greg Wilson commented. He gave me some tips about tea. Put sugar on it, make it sweet. Put lemon in it to make it sour. Oof, I just don't know if I can handle all that sugar. I don't know. It's like this unicorn frappuccino. It's so sugary. It's like a diabetes explosion. Like you don't want that. All right, so I'm scrolling up a little bit further. There's Greg Squirrel. I used to co-host the Greg Squirrel Show on Blog Talk Radio with Mr. Greg Squirrel.
He is a Hall of Fame inductee into the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame and a close personal friend of mine. Okay, so my cousin Casey gets on and she says, what's your opinion on the former Iranian president running for office again? I don't know if everybody missed this or not. A lot of people have seen it. Some have not. So if you have not seen it, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the guy that was the ruler of Iran back when George W. Bush was president, he's talking about running for office again. Like he wants to be the head duck over in Iran. Now, here's my take on that. The guy was terrible. He was terrible for business. Nobody liked him. You know, he talked a big game. He threatened a lot of people. He made a lot of people feel insecure. But nobody cared. You know what they did? They got rid of him. That's what you do when you don't feel safe. You get rid of people. You don't cry. Okay, so they got rid of this guy. Poor Mahmoud. He had to go back home to his little wooden shack in the village. And now he's running for president of Iran again. So, you know, you take this guy and you think, what good did they do? He was the president the first time. Well, they were kind of overshadowed. I think wholeheartedly that had we not been in an extra war that we didn't belong in with Iraq, I think we would have wound up pulling this guy out of power in Iran. I believe that. I believe it for many different reasons. Number one is just because of the way the guy threatened everybody. Okay? And one thing I know about when Obama is not president of the United States, it's the fact that when we get threatened, we're going to respond. We're not going to cower down. We're not going to ride these unicorns over these rainbows and all this stuff. We're going to do something about it. And I honestly believe that if we hadn't turned our attention on Saddam Hussein, which needed to be done, and I'll talk about that in a second, but if we hadn't turned our attention on Saddam Hussein, we would have gone after this guy. I mean, this guy threatened to wipe Israel off the face of the map. Now, I don't know how many people read the Bible out there, but Israel is biblical, very, very biblical. In fact, a lot of it centers around the Israelites. I mean, read the beginning. Read the book of Exodus. There's a lot of good stuff in there. So wiping Israel off the face. Look, when you got a group of people that are called God's chosen, I don't think it's a good idea to go messing with them. Like, call me crazy. I just don't think I would do that. It's kind of like haunted houses. There's some people, like seriously haunted houses, not the ones that are made up at Fort Chaffee that people go in for Halloween. I'm talking about ones that are seriously haunted where other people have died just trying to figure out what's going on. Do you touch that with a 10-foot pole? No, because you're afraid of what's going to happen. That's the same thing with Israel. We don't need to touch Israel with a 10-foot pole because we kind of do know what's going to happen. It's laid out very clearly for us. And if you want to find that, then I suggest you pick up a Bible and start reading it. And then we go on. Casey also said that the former president of Iran had publicly supported another candidate days before announcing his campaign. He did. That's how crazy this guy is. You know, I mean, I just don't get it. So here's the problem. If you're going to run for president of something, if you're going to run for any office, you don't want to come out in support of another candidate. You just don't want to do that. It's not a good idea. It makes absolutely no sense. And then once you decide you want to run, you have completely delegitimized your entire process. You have no credibility. Okay, first this guy wanted this person to be elected, and now he wants to run against. Like, how does that work? Well, it doesn't work out very well. So I think Ahmadinejad is going to have a really, really hard time being elected president of Iran again. I don't know. I mean, you never know. He may start threatening people. He may start gassing people like Assad's doing. If he does that, we're going to respond. Okay, because we've dealt with this guy once before. We've got no time for that. We've got no time for that, period. So I don't think it's something that's going to be an issue. I really don't. But if it does become one, I think we're well equipped. And when I say well-equipped, I'm going to talk about what Trump is doing with the military. A lot of people have a problem with Trump building the military back up. Let me tell you something. Obama tore the military down to post-World War I numbers. Okay? After the Great World War ended, see, we didn't call it World War I back then because we didn't know there was going to be a second one. It was called the Great World War. After that Great World War was over, we thought, man, it can't hit the fan twice. So the World War is over. Let's scale down a little bit. Let's just scale it down. So the United States scaled their numbers down. Well, then you turn around a bunch of years later, and we're not ready for Pearl Harbor. And we got massacred in Pearl Harbor. You know, we had a chance. We had a chance to do something about the issues going on in Europe. But FDR said, hey, it's not our deal. We need to let the Allied forces over there deal with what their problems are. But eventually we did get involved because we had to. We had to. But we couldn't have done it by ourselves. I mean, we had to jump in with the Allies and we had to fight for the right cause. It was the right thing to do. But we needed help. Now, if we have another war that breaks out, I mean, that's what we're talking about these days, another world war. We're not talking about going to war with one country. That's not what the problem is. You know, everybody's talking about Iran likes Syria, Syria likes Russia, Russia likes Syria. I mean, yeah, it's a well-known fact, okay? Russia's got Syria's back, and here's why. The biggest, most powerful Russian Air Force base outside of Russia is in Syria. Now, let me tell you some irony about that. Moments before, maybe even hours before, President Trump launched these missile attacks on the airport where the airstrikes were launched to drop the gas on the Syrians. Hillary Clinton came out and said that she would bomb every single air base in Syria. Okay? Here's the problem, Hillary Clinton. If you're bombing every airbase in Syria, that means you're attacking the Russians. Okay? Donald Trump did the right thing. Donald Trump took the Syrian airbase where the gas attacks were launched from. He attacked it. Did he completely wipe it out? Absolutely not. Did he intend to wipe it out? No. Donald Trump did not intend to wipe out the entire airbase. That's another thing that gets me about the Democrats. They scream and cry about Trump's launching missiles. He's attacking people. And then 2 days later, they're complaining that Trump didn't take out the entire base. So which one do you want? Liberals, make your minds up. Which one do you want? Do you want us to look like Sweet Pea from Popeye and just not mess with anybody like we did when Precious King Hussein Obama was in office? Or do you want us to stand up for what's right? What do you want us to do? Do you want us to go easy and give little warnings and let people lie to us like when Obama was in office? Or do you want us to make sure something's done about it? Do you want us to take out the entire airbase? Why don't you go ahead and set the guidelines, Democrats, while you're at it? Set the rules, man. Because if you're going to gripe about everything, you're not doing anything to make a difference. You can't be on both sides of the fence. We don't want the attacks. 2 days later, it's, well, we should have attacked them even harder. That is called hypocrisy. And if you don't know what being a hypocrite is, you need to look up that word. I could explain it to you, but you're not going to believe me. You're going to accuse me of being a know-it-all, and I think I know everything, and blah, blah, blah. I've heard it 5,000 times. But you can't be on both sides of the fence of everything. It's just not how the world works. Okay? So, you know, Donald Trump's doing the right thing with the military. We've got to build the military back up. Our weapon system needs to be tip-top. You know why? Because we're watching Syria. They're launching weapons attacks on their own people. We're watching North Korea. Dude, I don't even want to get started on North Korea because I won't shut up about it. North Korea thinks that they're going to turn the United States into a pile of dust. Okay, Kim Jong-un, the guy that was responsible for having his own brother murdered just a few weeks ago, The guy that was responsible for having one of his father's top advisors murdered a couple of months ago. I mean, if you're going to do this to your own family and your own friends, you're going to do it to everybody. So should you be in a position where you have power? No. Should you be in a position where you have nuclear weapons? No. You don't even need to be in a position where you have conventional weapons, let alone nuclear. So, liberals, what do you want us to do? Think about it. What do you want us to do? Do you want us just to leave this guy in power and then we wait till we get attacked so you can scream and cry and say Trump didn't do anything to save us? Because that's what you're going to do. You've got the conservative side of America that says take this son of a gun out of office, get him out of the way, take away his weapons, take away his capabilities so that we don't have to deal with another 9/11. It's very simple. We don't have to deal with another Pearl Harbor. It's very simple. If we had just, if the United States had just gone and attacked the Japanese Empire before they attacked Pearl Harbor, we wouldn't have had a Pearl Harbor. Back when Bill Clinton was trying to take all the attention off of his impeachment and his perjury. Yes, it's a crime. Lying under oath is a crime. When he was trying to take all the attention off of that, you know, he heard that the Taliban was in Afghanistan. So what did he do? He launched an airstrike. You know what he hit? He hit a camel and an aspirin factory. That's pretty potent, right? That's pretty tough, man. That's real tough. When you're being impeached as the president of the United States and you're bombing a camel and an aspirin factory to take the attention off of what you've done wrong, I mean, come on, man. And then you look at the first World Trade Center bombing. When did that happen? 1993? Who was president in 1990? Well, that would be Bill Clinton. Now, since 1993, we knew that this group of Taliban people were going to be a problem. We knew they were going to be an issue. If there was all this intelligence that pointed toward 9/11, let me tell you something, folks. It did not occur. All the planning did not occur. All the intelligence did not come out in the 8 months between when Bush took office and when 9/11 happened. Look at the 8 years before George W. Bush took office. Bill Clinton did absolutely nothing for foreign policy. Absolutely nothing. He made us look weak. And then now there's some similarities to Syria here. Some really good similarities. Really bad for us, but really good if you want to talk about the political side of this. The problem is you got 8 years of Bill Clinton doing absolutely nothing. He's not paying attention to the Taliban. We know there's a threat. We know there's going to be a problem. And if all this intelligence is credible, you can't blame 8 months on President Bush. Where's the 8 years? Well, these people lied. Iraq lied to Bill Clinton while he was in office about getting rid of his weapons of mass destruction. Where did he send them? We sent them to Syria. That's why Syria's using them now. But nobody did anything. In the 8 years Bill Clinton was in office, nobody did anything at all to take these weapons away from people to prevent what could happen. They did nothing. The Clinton administration did nothing to prevent 9/11 or to even pursue a credible threat. They did absolutely nothing. So, you know, you have to take a look at that. I got an answer to text. I've got a text right now. I think somebody's knocking on my door. I went live at noon. I'm on the podcast. Okay. I don't know. I mean, I've had it on Facebook. People, help me out. I'm getting messages left and right. But, you know, so back to the topic. When you know that you've got evidence and you have a credible threat and you have intelligence, if you think you do, then you need to do something about it. You have to do something about it. You can't just wait until the next guy takes office and then say, we'll let you deal with it. Same thing happened with Obama. 8 straight years, foreign policy. We got absolutely weak on foreign policy. We did absolutely nothing to secure any weapons from anybody. We let people lie to us about their weapons. And then what happens? Same thing when Clinton left office. A Republican takes over, things start happening, Syria starts gassing their own people, and then guess what? It's all Trump's fault. Bill Clinton did absolutely nothing to pursue a credible threat for 9/11 for 8 years after they bombed it the first time. And then Bush takes office, and then it's all Bush's fault. And this is the classic statement from liberals, from Democrats. When you get on Facebook and you try to have a logical debate with a Democrat, their go-to saying is, well, Obama's not in office anymore, so he's not relevant. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I mean, here's the problem with that. The problem is this has everything to do with the previous 8 years. This has everything to do with the failures of the previous administration. Bush was in office for 8 months when 9/11 happened. Trump, not even 90 days when Syria happened. How do you blame the new guy? You know, on one end, you've got the Democrats crying and screaming and moaning about Trump doesn't need intelligence information. Trump doesn't need classified information. And then less than 90 days after he takes office, everybody's crying that he didn't do anything to stop Syria. Well, Trump didn't sit around for 8 years and fund terrorist states. Trump didn't sit around for 8 years and let people lie to him about their weapons. Trump didn't sit around for 8 years while being totally ineffective. That was Obama. Find a different place to put the blame. It's as simple as that. Let's see what else we can find here. I've got a couple more topics I want to hit, but I'm going to look at some of these headlines here. Russia hacking story was created by Clinton campaign as damage control. I believe that. I believe this whole hacking story. You know, the DNC got hacked. They got hacked. They got hacked by someone. It wasn't Putin. I mean, there's absolutely no evidence to support the claim that they got hacked by Putin. Did they get hacked by somebody in Russia? It's a possibility, but they didn't get hacked by Putin. Putin had absolutely no effect on the outcome of the election. But what's Hillary doing? Hillary's running around the entire country on this stupid little campaign, blaming men, blaming misogyny, blaming sexism. Blaming everybody else. This came out from the Associated Press. It says, what a difference 6 months makes. Do you remember in the lead up to the election how we were all told that questioning the legitimacy of the election was unpatriotic and possibly dangerous? What's more is it would be nearly impossible to rig the vote. In a vivid illustration of how Mr. Trump is shattering American political norms, the Republican nominee alleged that a conspiracy was underway between the news media and the Democratic Party to commit vast election fraud. He offered no evidence to support his claim. The election is absolutely being rigged. This is what Mr. Trump said. He said the election is absolutely being rigged by the dishonest and distorted media pushing crooked Hillary, but also at many polling places. Now we scroll down a little bit. Give the Democrats credit. They had no problem turning on a dime and steamrolling everything they had said. In less than a day, Hillary's team eagerly embraced the rigged election narrative they had previously denounced as dangerous and possibly leading to violence. This is what Hillary said. I'm angry and exhausted after two brutal campaigns against Sanders and Trump. Hillary had to explain the failure to friends in a seemingly endless round of phone calls. Yeah, she had a lot of explaining to do. She was given a ton of money to beat Donald Trump, and she didn't do it. She made all these promises. And that takes us back to why we just faced this Supreme Court nomination ordeal. Everybody says, well, the Republicans blocked Obama. Okay, let me explain something. Obama said, I'm going to leave it up to the next president to nominate somebody. And do you know why he said that? Because he thought that the election was going to be rigged enough to get Hillary Clinton in office, and she would be the one doing the nominating. Wrong. It didn't happen. So that's why everybody's upset with Donald Trump. Given the phone calls, it was taking a toll on her already weary and grief-stricken soul, but mostly she was mad, talking about Hillary again. She was mad that she'd lost and that the country would have to endure a Trump presidency. I mean, she's just mad. She's butthurt. That strategy had been set within 24 hours of her concession speech. Mook and Podesta assembled her communications team at the Brooklyn headquarters to engineer the case that the election wasn't entirely on the up and up. Now, this is coming from Hillary and her camp, who said, there is no rigged election. There's no rigged election. Because we know she rigged it against Bernie. You know, the electoral votes for the primary had already gone to Hillary before people even voted. That's a rigged election. And then Hillary wanted to claim left and right, up and down, no, the election is not rigged. We did nothing wrong. And then as soon as she gets smoked in the presidential election, she claims that there was a rigged election. She starts to claim hacking. Now, when the DNC is being exposed and when her information about dumping off all these emails, when that's being exposed, man, I mean, she swears up and down, left and right, that no, there's no hacking going on. This is all fake. This is all fake. Well, then as soon as she gets beat at her own game, so she thinks, that's when she wants to cry about it. So it's just hypocrisy. It's more hypocrisy. Everywhere you turn, in whether it's liberal media, the Democratic Party, I don't care what it is, it's nothing but hypocrisy. You can't be on both sides of the fence about everything. Okay? No, we shouldn't attack somebody for killing their own people. Well, yeah, we should have. We should have killed everybody over there. You can't vote for both things. You don't get to vote two ballots. And then you got this. Well, there's absolutely no hacking going on. There's no rigged elections going on. Then as soon as you lose, the whole thing was rigged? Makes no sense. For a couple hours with Shake Shack containers littering the room, they went over the script they would pitch to the press and the public. Already, Russian hacking was the centerpiece of the argument. This is after Hillary Clinton had lost the presidential campaign. Turns out telling people that the election was stolen from them would result in violence was about the one thing the Democrats did get right. Okay? You know, the Democrats did. They told everybody that there would be a lot of violence since they lost the election. But what the Democrats were talking about was that it was going to be violence from the administration. It was going to be violence from Trump. It was going to be violence from bigot groups. Let me tell you something. Bigot groups have nothing to do with the Republican Party. Do they claim they're Republicans? Some of them might. But look at the ones who claim they're Democrats. There is no more bigoted group out there. There's no bigger racist group out there than Black Lives Matter. And if you think I'm racist for saying that, then you don't know what Black Lives Matter is all about. It's not black people standing up for each other. It's black people who want segregation to return to the United States. It's black people who want people of their own color to hate everybody who's not their color. It's no different than the KKK. It's no different. It's just that people are afraid to say the word black. I'm not. But that's what it is. People are afraid to say the word black. They think, oh, my God, if we say black, we're going to be labeled racist. Okay, I don't have a problem pointing out racist groups. I don't have a problem pointing out when something's bad for America. And if we've got a group that wants to bring segregation back, I mean, they're taking us back in time over 50 years. I mean, look, it's been almost 50 years since Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. It's been 49 now. This month, made 49 years. This guy fought and fought. I mean, a reverend, a preacher, a pastor of a church went to jail. This guy chose to go to jail to get rid of segregation in the United States, to fight against racism in the United States. And now what do you have a select group of black people doing in the United States trying to bring it back? It's not fair to the rest of the black people in America. It's not fair to them because there's a lot of people who don't want this. It's just like this whole thing with the KKK and white people. I don't even know what my heritage is. I just know that I'm a white guy and I need a tan right now. But I don't want to be associated with the KKK. I don't fly rebel flags. Rebel flags are stupid. Okay, the South hasn't existed for 152 years now. There is no South anymore. There is a United States. Fly the flag of the United States. It's very simple, people. There is no heritage. There's no heritage in the South. Look up the word heritage. Pull out a dictionary, or if you're on the internet, go to dictionary.com. Look up heritage. What did anybody in Confederate States of America leave behind for you? Nothing. A piss poor legacy. That's what they left behind. They were a group of cowards. They thought that owning people, owning black people, was the right way of life. And yes, that's what they fought for. They thought that that was the number one concern for states' rights. Oh my gosh, the Yankees are trying to take black people away from us. Let's secede from the Union and create our own states where we can own black people and they can be our slaves for life because Abraham Lincoln is trying to get rid of slavery. They knew it before Lincoln took office. They knew what he was about. They knew that he was going to try to get rid of slavery. But now you've got a group of people just taking us so far back into the history books, it's ridiculous. We don't need groups of people like that. We don't need the KKK around. We don't need Black Lives Matter. And then people get mad when people say all lives matter. Well, get mad about that. Get mad. What are you going to do? Because that is a true statement. That's a true statement. All lives matter. So when you stop color-coding people, and when you stop segregating people, and when you start treating Americans as Americans, talking about the legal ones, not the illegal ones, when you start treating people as Americans, that's when you're going to see a change in things. But if you keep segregation alive and well, you're an idiot. That's my opinion. Personally, I think that opinion is a fact. I don't know a smart person in America who supports segregation. I just don't get it. So going back to the story, you know, Hillary Clinton, she did predict that there would be a lot of violence after the election was, in her words, stolen from her. But little did she know that the violence would come from her side of the fence. You got people pillaging the streets, looting businesses, stealing from folks, setting cars on fire, attacking the police, shooting at police. Guys, you could think the cops are crooked. Look, there's cops around here that are as crooked as it gets. But it's not my job to go out and shoot at them. That's not how you get things done. You go down further a little bit in the story. We saw it at the inauguration. We see it when conservatives go to speak. When anyone the left doesn't like goes to rally. Okay? They pickpocket these people. Not as in they rob them. But they pick them out of a pocket. And they say, well, I don't like this person. I don't like this person. So guess what? We're going to go inside a riot. That's stupid. What's more, there is no sign the violence is de-escalating. The leftist groups that have been egged on by the campaign to rewrite the results of the November election are now looking to arm up for greater violence. And that's a true story. They think the only way to get anything done is just to revolt and start riots and create a problem. And that's not the way to do it. Not getting disarmed is a big part of the problem, yes. But we need more than flags and bats. We need to take notes from John Brown Gun Club and get firearms and training. I know getting firearms in states and cities we have a presence in is usually a hassle, but even handguns would help. It would certainly put a psychological element in while holding fashback.
What do you think a fascist is more afraid of? People with flags and bats, or people with flags, bats, and guns? Pretty simple answer to that question. And this gun control issue. Oh my gosh, everybody wants stricter gun control. How's that working out in Chicago? Can anybody answer that one for me? Terrible. You know, they came out with a report here just a few months ago, a couple months ago, that said that this was the first time in the history of Chicago that it didn't snow in the month of February. That's because all the snowflakes were shot before they hit the ground. There's too many guns there, too many shootings there. There was another report that came out that said Tulsa, Oklahoma is the most violent and dangerous place to live in the United States of America. I say bull. Whoever did this little survey, this little study, they have absolutely never been to the city of Chicago. I mean, oh my gosh. Do some research. Read a book. Free your mind and the rest will follow. So we've got Palm Beach, Florida. They're considering a special tax to help pay for Trump's frequent visits. That's another thing that's got me going here. Where were the Democrats? Where were the Democrats when Obama was spending millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars on vacations in Hawaii and everywhere else? And $100,000 a night hotel rooms for Secret Service and all this other stuff. Where were all the criers and complainers when Obama was doing this? Now, Trump, when Trump goes to Mar-a-Lago, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but that's one of his homes. Like, he's going home. People say, well, he's the president. His home should be the White House. Okay, in a perfect world. Well, what kind of sense does that make? It doesn't make very good sense at all. It's not a very good argument. You know, you can't lock a president up in a White House. Look, when he goes overseas, do you want the president to not go overseas? Should he have zero trips under his belt? I mean, when you're trying to go and visit someone from another country, what does it matter whether you're at the White House or Florida or in their country? What does it matter? It's just something else for you to cry about. And if you're sitting around crying about it, you're wasting time. Because I'm going to tell you something. The executive branch of the United States government, for those of you who don't know, that's the president. They have a budget. They're not going out and dipping into welfare money like a lot of you think they are. They're not going out and dipping into military funds. They're not going out and dipping into healthcare money for Trump to take trips. That's not how it works. So when you sit there and say, "Oh my gosh, we're how about you know, that Moab costs however much money to make. We could have spent that money making America great again." All right. First of all, Moab was built when President Bush was in office. So Trump didn't spend the money to build Moab. Okay. So let's just go ahead and get that over with right now. But Trump is not taking money from what you think you're going to get money from. I don't know why you think you're entitled to federal funds anyway, because you're not. Trump is not going to take money from federal funds, federal programs, and just go take trips with it. The executive branch has an approved budget. Guess who approves it? The people you elect, the people you vote for, Congress. That's who approves that budget. It's a very, very comprehensive plan. They sit and they pore over this stuff for months and months and months, and they figure out, what can we do with our budget? What can we do as Congress to make America great? They write out a budget. So if money is your complaint, I don't even know what you're complaining about, really.
You know, it's funny because some of the people who have on Facebook who have said that they're the most scared. I'm so scared. I'm going to lose my rights. Trump is just going to take my life away. I mean, you should see the success stories that these people are posting on Facebook right now. They've got groceries. They've got bills paid. They've got trips planned. They've starting new careers. You know, so how, on one hand, how can you be so scared for your life and everything in it that you're going to lose everything and blame Trump for it? And then on the other hand, it's like, dude, my life is so great. My life is so great. Starting a new job, just got married, just made a bunch of money, saved a ton of money on my car insurance. I'm going on vacation. I've got this, that, and the other planned with my family. Things are looking great. I'm not hungry. How can you be thriving and then blame a president for taking all your rights away when you haven't even lost any? Think about it, folks. It doesn't work like that. That's more hypocrisy. And where's it coming from? It's coming from the left. Okay? I guarantee it. That's just the way it is. Now, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time talking about that because I'm not going to burn up a full 2 hours on the first show. As I'd mentioned before, I'll be, today's Saturday, doing the show on Saturday. From here on, every the weekend, I'll be on Sundays. So we'll be doing the show on Sunday. And, I think I'm going to try to do a live video. That way we can get some feedback. We can get some questions. We can get some comments in. And we can have some other stuff to talk about. But I'm not going to sit here and hatch all my eggs on the very first podcast. So, I did want to set the tone. I wanted to kind of give folks an idea of what we're going to be talking about. And, let me capitalize again on the network. Filling the Void Radio Network is on blogtalkradio.com. All of our shows are being archived to Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play. You can find these any time of the day, any time of the week. Tuesday on Filling the Void Radio Network, we have Travis and Vic's Drunken Horror Adventures at 9 p.m. Eastern. That's 8 o'clock if you're living near me. So they talk about horror movies. They drink, okay? I don't even know if Travis remembers breathing from the other night. But it was a good show. It's funny. If you have a good sense of humor, it's funny. They'll talk about all kinds of interesting stuff. That's Tuesday evenings, 9 Eastern, 8 o'clock Central. On Wednesdays, you have the double main event featuring Open Mic Wrestling Night and the Indie Power Rankings Tag Team Top 5 Reveal. Granny Hulkster, if you're still listening, this is a wrestling show, so search for Filling the Void Radio Network. My buddy Dave is going to be on that. He is part of the Open Mic Wrestling Night. They do the Indie Power Rankings Tag Team Top 5 Reveal at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 o'clock Central. So if you're like me, if you're like Granny Hulkster, you want to listen, you want to talk about wrestling, that show's great. Now on Thursday, this is the show I was telling everybody about that I listened to, DJ Classic. DJ Classic presents the Indie Artist Realm at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 o'clock Central. And then on Friday is Nerd Herders at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. I haven't listened to Nerd Herders yet. But when I get off the podcast here in just a little bit, I'm going to go back and listen to Friday's show. Check out the Nerd Herders and see what they got going on. That way I can have a little product knowledge. And then, of course, Saturdays are going to be kind of fair game for the network. And then Sundays, here's the problem, is going to show up with me. So we're going to talk about all kinds of stuff. We're going to get some things done. We're going to get some stuff accomplished. And, like I mentioned on the live video today, it's not about a bunch of people agreeing with me. I don't want a bunch of people to agree with me. I mean, if you do, that's great. And I'm behind you 100% of the way. But if you don't, well, that's where it gets interesting. Okay? So, that's why we put the call-in number out there. That's why, I do the questions and comments on Facebook Live, because you may not want to call in.
You can submit questions to me then and there, and that's the way we can get things done. So, you know, it's pretty easy to do that.
You know, as far as rolling with the flow goes, it's a whole lot easier to get behind what's going on in this country. I'm not saying that you have to love Trump. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying you have to love the president, okay? I can't stand Obama, but I supported him at one time. Yes, I supported President Obama at one time, mainly because he lied to everybody and we believed him. We believed change was going to come, but we didn't know that it was going to be in the form of being totally weak on foreign policy, being totally weak on people who lie to us, being totally weak on funding terrorists. We didn't know it was going to be like that. But Obama had several programs we'll talk about next week. He had several programs put in place that were set up to completely backfire on the next president, no matter who it was. And he thought that he could run damage control and still have a hand in politics, still have a hand in the White House with Hillary in office. But we see how that worked out. Not very well. So Donald Trump's got a lot of work ahead of him. I'm behind him. You don't have to be. It'd be great if you were. I mean, we'd all love to have you on board. But if you're just dead set on being a crier and you're dead set on being hurt all the time and being a victim, and you need your safe space, and you need your antidepressants, and you need all this other crap that probably 90% of America doesn't need, then you're never going to get behind the movement, ever. And that's what we can count on. It's sad, but it is a fact of life. It is a reality. And I think I'm getting the signal here. Yeah. Oh, we're about to get funky. So I'm getting the signal that it's time for me to wrap up the show. I appreciate everybody tuning in. Most of you know me. My name is Clint Davis. I'll be on every Sunday. I have not decided on a time yet, but I am going to get things figured out. As soon as we do get it figured out, Funk is going to be on a roll. I guarantee it. So this is Filling the Void Radio Network on blogtalkradio.com. We're all over Facebook, Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play. This is Here's the Problem. My name is Clint Davis, and I will see you next time. What you got?